Bloomberg The First Word Europe. On demand via the Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Raj Thamathiram is president of the Network for Sustainable Financial Market and founder of Preventable Surprises and joins us now down the line with some analysis. Raj, good to have you on the programme. I want to give you your thoughts then, your hopes and aspirations post the Paris Accord. Maybe give it marks out of 10.
It's an amazing agreement, in part because the previous 20 COPs, the conferences of parties, have been such a failure. And so this one was a huge success in comparison. And the scale of 195 countries agreeing something, the scope actually to agree to decarbonize global economies is quite unparalleled. The key question, the two key questions in my mind are, will those who signed implement quickly? And we've already seen a really big pushback in the USA with the Supreme Court delaying adoption of the Clean Energy Plan. And also the second one, which is almost as big, is will the ratcheting process after this initial round of agreement kick in and kick in fast? And those are the two uncertainties. But, you know, one of the really interesting things is that is the news flow since COP21, since Paris. And I think I'll just pick one issue, which is that the Saudi government announced a $2 trillion investment fund, which it explicitly says is its post-oil retirement fund.
So yes, it does seem to have been something of a change of mindset, doesn't there? And if there's a change of mindset in Saudi, then, you know, that tells you something, I guess. You referenced there the pushback that we're seeing for the COP agreement, the Paris Climate Agreement in the United States. Give us your thoughts on the presidential election and the way that that rubs up against this process. Is there a danger that a change in leadership in America of some sort or other will result in pushback increasing? And in fact, maybe this won't be implemented in the US.
You know, opining on the nature of the US presidential election is a little bit over my pay grade. But one of the things that I would say is that we're seeing almost whoever gets into the White House, we're seeing a quite marked polarization. And it's very interesting to see, for example, Google, Apple, and some other very high-tech players, big high-tech players, go public in their support for the currently the Obama energy plan. And I don't think those changes will get reversed or reduced. And so I think what we're seeing is a polarization between those who know that the decarbonization process is happening and want to be at the front end of it, and those who have vested interest in wanting to make sure they can continue to deliver the quarterly results and the personal bonuses that go with business as usual. That fight's not going to go away. What's really interesting, I think, is that a key player that's come into the ring is this invisible and huge $1 trillion gorilla called Institutional Investor. $24 trillion worth of investors have lobbied governments to implement COP. One of the really fascinating things is this year round we're seeing very conservative, or at least previously considered conservative, investors like the Church of England actually co-file resolutions at, in this case, Exxon, asking the company to disclose its 2-degree stress test, as happened, as you probably know, and listeners probably know, happened with BP, Shell and Statoil in 2015.
So Raj, so it's fascinating, and I've spoken to increasing numbers of fund managers, it does seem, to underline your point, who are talking about the ways that they are trying to lobby from within, if you like, trying to lobby these businesses to either disclose more or change their businesses more. But Raj, where are the weak spots? Where is the institutional investment community not doing what you want them to do in terms of driving this agenda?
So the shift at COP was huge. And if you compare, say, the investors with the banks, I think the investors came out very well. And I'm well known for challenging my own sector. I used to work in the investment sector for 15 years. So first credit where credit is due. The thing that's needed, in addition to all the work being done on decarbonization of portfolios and green bonds and all the other good stuff, is, in our opinion, investors should be asking for 2-degree transition plans across the board. We've already seen companies suddenly disappear, Peabody, for example, most recently. And one of the things that we're suggesting is that having higher disclosure of how companies will cope in this new environment will protect investors. And we're delighted that Mark Carney and the FSB task force are looking into essentially the same thing. How can we have transition plans for net zero?
Explain that just a little more, Raj. What is a 2-degree plan? Is that that's just how you'll cope with the changes stipulated by COP? Is it?
Absolutely. Governments have agreed to keep global warming to well below 2 degrees. Therefore, conservatively, we want to see investors ask companies for their transition plans for how they'll cope in that environment. It's a basic scenario stress test.
A scenario stress test. Okay, and which of the fund managers do you think are really leading the way on this agenda?
Well, interestingly, some of the very big religious faith-based fund managers have played a very important role in this country, CCLA in America, Westpath, Church of England, I mentioned. But interestingly, I think in this time, you're seeing some very mainstream fund managers like Hermes and Legal & General and Schroders step up to the challenge of actually saying, this is not a green tree hugger issue. This is a basic issue of systemic risk, and we need to be on top of that.
Bloomberg, the First Word Europe, weekday mornings at 1 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Washington, D.C. on Bloomberg 99.1 FM and 105.7 FM HD2, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 AM and 103.7 FM HD2, and on SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2016 Bloomberg LP.